You are listening to the Super Squared Circle podcast on the Super Network at supermarthy.com. Hello everybody and welcome to a brand new edition of the Super Squared Circle podcast. I am your host, good old Super Marcy. And joining me, as always, my reliable co-host, the mean James Orrell. Not to be called James Orrell, because that's not his name. Although he probably gives Orrell if you ask nicely. Bam!
I got a name tag that proves it. How you doing tonight, Marcy?
I am fine.
I am fantastic. I'm relaxing after the craziness that was last weekend.
Yeah, let's, before we get into that, obviously, seeing as it's just us yet again, you know, somebody has decided to be Rybatch again. He's apparently, not only has he been suspended from the podcast for another violation, he's also thinking he can hold out on his contract as well, so fucking, yeah.
Man, arrogant heels, I swear to God.
Ugh, a resident heel is batching it up, is right batching it up, fucking hell.
And Rybatch. That shit's gonna stick, man. He misses one more time, he's no longer Batch. He's Rybatch forever.
Oh, if he misses again, I mean, that's strike three. I don't know. He might have to, like, I don't know, be on the firing line.
He'll have to watch, unless he watches, like, an hour of John Cena's greatest hits.
Yeah, we'll torture him with John Cena.
We'll get him all, like, Clockwork Orange with the eyes.
Oh my god, yeah.
And just force him to watch it.
But what, make him watch, like, all the infamous John Cena, like, burying the talent moments and matches.
Oh man, from like 10 years ago.
Just to piss him off that much more.
Or let him watch him versus Randy Orton for the 1,000th time.
Just watch all the Orton Cena matches.
Because Lord knows, if you've seen one of them, you've seen them all.
Pretty much. Yeah, so that's that, obviously. It's just you and I yet again. But let's get into, to start with, obviously, this past weekend you had Days of the Dead.
Yes, I did.
Or Neck of the Woods, and you had some wrestling guests there.
Yes, we did.
So, fucking tell us all about it, dude. Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, my namesake from this podcast was there, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, and boy.
He was the nicest little man, I swear to God. He was tiny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a lot. I mean, he's like about 3 or 4 inches shorter than I am, and I'm only 5'8".
No, it would have been about my height, probably. I'm like 5'1", 5'2".
Somewhere around there. Maybe a little bit taller, not much.
Everyone's usually taller than I am.
But he was just the nicest guy, man. I mean, the thing that really stuck out to me was that his voice has not changed.
Oh, absolutely not. I can imagine, yeah.
He has such a unique interview voice, and it's exactly the same. So, I mean, it's kind of eerie the first time you meet him.
Wow.
You know, he's not putting it on like the way Enzo Amore does. And seated next to him was the one and only Marty Jannetty, as my buddy Ed likes to call him, the one true rocker.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was a nice guy, and he was actually sober at the event, too. He drank a Diet Coke all weekend.
Damn, boy. Someone's cleaning up then.
Well, he's trying to. I mean, from what the dirt sheets have been saying lately is that he's been having issues, and some people I know that are a little more in on the situation than I am or you are have pretty much confirmed it.
Damn. So, well, hopefully he gets there.
I hope so. I mean, you hate to see it, but he was in great spirits. He was real nice and friendly with everyone.
Well, that's good. That's what you want.
Willing to talk about whatever. Right. And the headliner, of course, was the one, the only Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't get to stick around for too long because, well, his schedule has got to be insane.
Yeah, I imagine so.
He was there for, like, about a three-hour window for autographs and for photo ops. The autograph line for him, because that purchased their tickets, because he had to pre-purchase the tickets and photo ops for him because of just how little time there would be to make sure everyone got it. What they paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
This line, I have never seen a line that long. And I've once waited in line 4 hours to meet George Romero.
Damn.
This, whew. I mean, fortunately, they hustled people through real quick. He'd say a few nice things, but he wasn't really lollygagging. But he was nice, but you just didn't have the time because you had to move through it. Because there was 500 people or something like that in a line, it seemed like. I mean, there's a video circulating on Facebook where you could see the line itself running throughout the entire first floor of the hotel. And then the photo ops were pretty much the same way, but there was less of them because he had less time dedicated for it.
And photo ops you can get through a lot quicker.
Yeah, in and out, because they're not there to bullshit with you or anything like that. But it was nice. He's in great shape still. He's about the size that I figured he'd be. I mean, a little bit bigger than me. Like, he's about 5'10".
Yeah.
But he's cut like hell. I mean, you'll see the picture this week, I'm sure. When I get the download code for it. But yeah, it was an absolutely incredible event, and if you're in Louisville, Kentucky in September, you want to be there for the next one, because they're having Mick Foley.
Damn.
Right?
So, meeting Mean Gene, and you told him that that's what we call you, what did he say? What did he have to say about that? Was he pumped?
Got a kick out of it. I mean, he loved the fact that we throw so much love to the older school, older generation, because so many kids nowadays just want to see, like Rybatch wants to see, which is 1,000 super kicks per match, rather than good old-fashioned storytelling. That's why I like using his name, because he was a master of telling a story just on in the interviews.
Mm.
And I told him that, and yeah, he thought it was awesome. He said, keep doing what you're doing.
Damn straight. Always happy to fucking hear it.
Me too.
You hear that? We're endorsed by Mean Gene, sort of.
That's right. Keep doing what you do. We'll take it as endorsed. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Totally. Well, that sounds like a fucking awesome event. Unfortunately, like, obviously, I think a lot of people... follow me on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. We'll have known that I did break my foot. I went diving off the fucking scaffolding at some event. I didn't realize it wasn't actually a wrestling event and there was no landing. So, yeah, broke my foot. That's the story. I'm sticking to it. But last Friday, we had a House of Hardcore in Melbourne, which I unfortunately was unable to get to. But they had Tommy Dreamer and a lot of big names. And then, again, unfortunately, I had no way to get there. But my friend Jeff, he runs a store called Go Figure, which is pretty much the go-to place for getting your wrestling figures and stuff like that. So on Monday he hosted an autograph session with Tommy Dreamer. Being that it's a Monday and people work, there was just no way for me to get there. So I missed out on everything.
But
I think the show was a big success, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see them coming back. I know Dreamer comes out here quite a bit. So do a lot of other names. They tend to come down fairly often, I think. So
that's good. I mean, I would love to meet Tommy Dreamer because I've heard nothing but great stories about him. And after seeing him in the Edge and Christian show,
I kind of
got a sense of humor.
I kind of wished I could have printed off that picture of him, like on the rug. From the show and got him to sign
Nanahamic.
It. Damn it. Missed opportunity.
Oh my god. That. And he's totally playing up to it. I loved that show, man. I can't wait for it to come back.
Is it coming back? Do we have confirmation?
Well, they called it season one. They didn't call.
Well, they did,
And that's a good sign because, I mean, it was pulled. From what I understand, it was pulling in decent numbers.
Yeah, I think it is doing pretty well. I didn't even know what I was going to say. Sorry. Cut you off. Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say that show, that is one of the better shows on the network right now. I mean, I love that they're all on there, too, because I like to binge watch.
Yeah.
And oh my god, it's just my kind of humor. It's off the wall, mad TV style.
I mean, what I love is, like, the first episode, you've got the Shockmaster on there, and they're bringing in people like Pete Gass and, oh, so funny.
And Bailey giving hugs.
Yeah, with a kendo stick.
There are different kind of hugs, Tommy Dreamer! Oh my god. That was just awesome.
That was one of my favorite moments on the show, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, her character on TV is just so sweet, and then she introduced something so violent.
I know, it's pretty funny.
It's like being mauled to death by a teddy bear.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, since we last recorded, literally, like, the day after we recorded, it comes out, SmackDown is going live, and we're doing a draft. There's going to be separate rosters. We're doing the brand split. So we haven't actually had a chance to even talk about that yet, because thank you, WWE, you fucking trolled us with that shit.
They were waiting for us to get done recording. Like, okay, they're done?
Yeah.
Drop shit.
Yeah, literally. Like, fuck you guys. I can't remember the date.
July 19th here in the States.
So what's happening here, and this is annoying as fuck, SmackDown here, because it's on a Thursday over there,
mm-hmm.
which is Friday for us. They air it Friday afternoon, so it's a few hours delayed, but they're still going to air it on Fridays even when it's live. Which is mm-hmm. stupid. They should just have it live, or at least, you know, later that afternoon or something. Possibly they would have to pay a lot to get it, but that's going to be annoying. But I'm sure Anonymous Wrestling Guy will hook me up for SmackDown anyway. So what are your thoughts? Like, are you a fan of SmackDown going live, being the very next day after Raw, and of the upcoming brand split?
I'm actually excited for both of them, because I think now that it's going live, for one, they won't have to wait a couple of days and let spoilers just take over the internet, which can only help their viewership as long as they do the other thing that going live means. They gotta treat it like an A-list show, like it finally that it's on par with Raw. Because they've never done that. They've always looked at it as the show. And it cannot be like that anymore. I think first person, and Rybatch will hate me for this, but well, fuck him, he's not here.
Exactly.
The first person they should draft for SmackDown has to be John Cena.
See, the thing about that is, he's scheduled for Raw shows, not SmackDown, so I think he's going to be on Raw.
For now, but if they bring
him, I guess they're just trolling, you know.
That could be, but the reason why I'm saying this is because he, whether you like him, love him, or hate him, he is the face of WWE. There's no question about that. It's not about what you like, it's about what is, and he is. And moving him over to SmackDown will show a commitment to how serious they're taking the product and how seriously they want it taken. Right? Rather than just letting it, once again, fall onto the wayside. I mean, it's like back when they had the original brand split. I mean, they had Triple H on one side and Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker on the other. I mean, back when they first did the brand split, yeah, it was treated as equals because of those names like that. And you could still do that the way that they've been building it. But I think the key to really people taking it seriously is putting Cena on SmackDown.
I think we're going to see, I don't know, it's hard to like guess where they're going to put people. Like, with the roster being the way it is, I can understand that the brand split makes sense. I'm not entirely on board, and I had mentioned this on the Binge Media or the Binge Sportscast Wrestling Edition, what the fuck am I talking about? that to the two title belts, I think, just kind of diminishes the importance of the top belt. And my preference would be the champion defends on both. But as we saw on Raw, Dean Ambrose's title is now just being called the WWE title. So they're likely bringing back the heavyweight title. So there's going to be two world titles. We'll have IC title on one show. US title on another show. Then we'll likely have the tag team and the women's title for both. So
I could see, yeah, that's the way I would see it, because they don't have, they finally got a solid tag team roster now, but they don't have enough to carry two different tag team titles.
No, and it would make sense to have them be on both shows, I say.
Same with the women's wrestlers. They've got a decently deep roster of talent, but not enough to sustain two different rosters.
Yeah, so it would need to be, like, on both.
Yeah.
And I think it'll open up an opportunity to have more than, like, one main storyline. It doesn't make sense that they're struggling. Like, you've got the whole thing with Charlotte, and then you've got the side story with, like, Natty and Becky. But there's no reason why that whole thing on Raw was cut down so short. I mean, yeah, maybe for time, but they, honestly, you can do better than that. It just kind of feels like the shows are dwindling on right now, just waiting for the split to happen.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling, too. I mean, They're in a holding pattern, although there is some very good things that have been happening lately. But I'll get into that in just a moment. Who do you see from NXT getting called up? Because you know they're going to
cherry-pick
talent.
Finn Balor's likely last match with NXT is happening, I think, that week. Although they've already recorded it. With Shinsuke Nakamura, so he's definitely coming.
Yes.
I'm not sure I see, like, Joe yet. Possibly.
I could see Bailey.
That would be a strong possibility.
I mean, Bailey's, well. She's about, she's got nothing left to prove down there at the very least.
No.
Here's a name that I think's intriguing that I've been wanting to have been called up for a little while. She's not great in the ring just yet, but she's been showing a hell of a lot of improvement. Carmella.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Slap her with Enzo and Cass again.
But the thing is, I know she said she wants to hold the NXT Women's title, but I'm not sure if I see that happening as long as Asuka has it, but she'll get called up sooner or later anyway.
Yeah, I think she'll end up getting called up to the roster, which is definitely a lot better than I can say for Dana Brooke. But that's just my personal opinion right now. That can change later. I see American Alpha.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could see that. I would love to see Ty Dillinger get called up and for the guy to fucking win matches. And I mean, he's so over, and then he's like just losing to whoever, and it's like, I can see you trying to build something, but no.
The amazing thing about how over he's gotten with the NXT crowd, which admittedly is a much more hardcore crowd than, say, Raw or SmackDown, how quickly did that happen?
It's all here, too.
No one gave a crap about him at all.
Yeah.
But then now, at the next last take over, he was just 100% over.
He's done it all himself. He's so over. I want to see that guy succeed so badly. He's been at it for so long. I mean, give the guy a chance. You do not want to, you don't want a repeat of what you fucking did to Cody or to Sandow. I mean, come on, guys.
Yes. That is true. Although, apparently, they're in talks to bring Cody back.
Yeah, although I had read, a Legends contract to fucking be able to sell merch, but it's like...
I've read that, too, but, I mean, I think... I like the fact that they're at least talking with one another.
But I think now they're saying, oh, well, he's booked a match against, Kurt Angle. He's getting high-profile matches. Maybe we were completely stupid in what position we put him in.
Well, they should have let him be himself because he wanted to drop the Stardust gimmick. He loved the Stardust gimmick, but he wanted, once his dad died, that kind of changed everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, considering who his dad is and just how much of a workhorse he's been for Cody Rhodes has been for WWE, I say give him what he wants.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The kid's got talent. And,
yeah.
But they can't get it right with everyone 100% at a time, unfortunately.
No. Yeah. But I think we'll see some surprises, some unexpected things. It's going to be the must-watch show for first SmackDown Live.
Absolutely.
And they are teasing, who's going to be running what show... And we're going to see this whole Stephanie Shane thing explode in the next week or two.
I've got a prediction, though, for that. Yep. Vince McMahon comes down and says, no, neither one of you running SmackDown. Instead, he gives it to a different person who's never run it before, who's a representative of the new era. That person's name is Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's very possible.
I could totally see that happen.
Yeah.
And that alone, dude, that alone is, for if that happens, forget anything I said about Cena. That alone is going to get people to watch.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I'm not sure where people will end up because I know they're just going to throw a lot of curveballs. I'm not really going to predict who's going where. I'll just wait and see. But it's
the only thing I'm going to guarantee is that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not going to be on the same show.
They will not be on the same show. That's because of this end of the feud match at Battleground.
True great feuds like that never die. I mean, look at Rick versus Sting.
Yeah.
And Hogan versus Savage, Stone Cold versus The Rock. I mean, it just let it simmer on the back burner for a while. Let them build their names up without one another. Then bring them back to throw at each other. Just don't do 1,000 pay-per-views in a row of John Cena versus Randy Orton.
Obviously, since we last recorded, we had Money in the Bank, and obviously Dean Ambrose won the Money in the Bank match, and then he cashed in that night.
I called that, man. That's the guy I've been wanting to see go over, because he's been busting his ass so hard. I mean, the man made a freaking lumberjack match with Seth Rollins, entertaining as hell. And lumberjack matches usually suck.
Dude got a fucking pot plant over. Somehow.
He got a freaking potted plant over. I mean, if anyone is going to step up to the next level of popularity, it's going to be him. I mean, and it's happened organically. People love that crazy bastard.
He's been getting over everywhere he goes. You can't argue with, what they've done. But if we look at it, WWE, before Money in the Bank, knew about Roman not passing the piss test. And this is where we saw, in the match with Seth Rollins, he lost clean and Rollins got the title. But then Ambrose came out and cashed in on him and took the title. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, says a lot, because we don't see Roman Reigns lose all that often.
Especially clean.
And clean. So that, I think, in itself is a pretty big punishment. There, but we also saw all three members of the Shield in the span of, 3 minutes, hold the title.
How awesome is that?
Kind of crazy. And, you know, they've booked the triple threat match for Battleground with them,
And that comes up after the 30 days is over.
So he's safe. I still don't really agree with rewarding someone who's failed a test.
Well, I don't see him winning.
No. But I know everyone's like, oh, well, it should be at SummerSlam. But you can see that the split is going to be happening by then. There's going to be another title in play. We don't know.
The odds of all three being on the same show, not very likely.
Yeah. So it makes sense in that regard. And they had a pretty good match, Rollins and Reigns. And the Money in the Bank match was really good as well. The match that I liked or loved the most was actually the AJ Cena match. And I wrote this in my review. It's like was not Super Cena. He was a guy in this match who was really struggling.
He was outclassed because everything he was doing,
AJ could one-up him.
Yeah.
He had an answer for it. Fucking fantastic storytelling. I am iffy that, he had help, but this is the character they're going with and this is how they're going to play it. It makes sense in that way.
He's got a cheat. I mean, let's be honest here. Heels cheat all the fucking time.
But it's the same thing, like, with Rollins cheating. I mean, heels, you're supposed to hate them. They're supposed to fucking cheat and be underhanded when it comes to these things.
The people that are really upset about that, it just proves their marks, man. I mean, they're getting into it. Whether they realize it or not, they're having a mark-out moment.
And obviously that feud is still going.
That's another one of those feuds that'll go on till the end of time. Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. Because those guys are just incapable of having a bad match.
Yeah, so they're pretty much going to just carry this on while Roman is out. And as we saw on Raw, not that they addressed it by name, but Rollins pulled up the apology tweet.
He did. He called him out on that shit, man. And here's the kicker of that. That was on the anniversary, the 5-year anniversary of the pipe bomb.
Oh.
To the day.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago? Holy shit.
At the exact same day. And on top of that, I mean, I saw an article on Bleacher Report, which just made me think, yeah, I see this. They're basically comparing Seth Rollins to basically the next generation of CM Punk. I mean, both have incredible indie records. I mean, look at the Ring of Honor past, and you got just a ton of shit to work with. Both of them are very good on the mic, and both of them do stuff in the ring that you don't see anyone else do, and have a very unique look and style to them. And I mean, I thought about it, and yeah, I could see it. And like CM Punk, he doesn't give a damn whether people like him, love him, or hate him. In fact, he's very good at getting people to hate him, because he'll tell you to fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, when the night after he came back, he gets a hero's welcome, and he just spins that around, turns it on them, on everyone. Yeah. That was just brilliance.
Yeah. So I think it was, he addressed the elephant in the room. It was a smart thing to do. And you can easily go forward with it. I thought though, like that, and the matches they had with like Cena and AJ were probably the highlights, as well as the Sammy and Kevin Owens on the highlight reel.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. Sammy just carried that so well, and then Owens with his reactions was perfect. But
and freaking Jericho playing the puppet master, pulling the strings.
Oh yeah, and then this double super kick was just like icing on the cake.
They may not like each other, but they don't like you either.
Exactly. And I kind of liked how they continued the feud with AJ and Cena by having them pretty much cost each other the match with the distraction. And I loved that Rollins was on commentary being like, I don't want to fucking go for Dean Ambrose, but I kind of have to because I don't want this match to have any more people in it.
Right.
So that was good. And then him getting the upper hand at the end and the guys obviously getting Cena. I just, what I want, just stop. You want the club to be cool as shit. You want the club to be a force to be reckoned with. Don't have fucking Cena just take them out with one really bad-looking hit. That should not happen.
I agree with you on that.
And I think
do agree.
With the split, I do want to see more people join.
Because
otherwise, it's going to be a failure, and those guys do not deserve a failure at all.
But the way that they're positioning AJ and company, I don't see it going to be a failure. I think they have a long-term plan for these guys.
Yeah.
We're just seeing the pieces yet. I mean, I think it's way too early to write them off say, WWE's just burying them. Because if that was the case, AJ would not have won at Money in the Bank.
Oh, no.
That's just as simple as that. Or looked anywhere near as good as he did.
Yeah,
while
he looked
doing it.
Phenomenal.
I mean, he said on the podcast, his specialty, the reason why he's phenomenal, well, there's a reason why he was called phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It goes back to his very early days, just the tagline that stuck. But he knows he's a master of adapting his style
Absolutely.
To match anyone in the world.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so fucking great.
Yeah.
And, like, on Monday Night Raw, a lot of people don't realize it. That is the first time AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose have ever had a match against each other.
And it was fucking awesome.
It was fucking awesome. I would love to see an extended program between those two. I would love to see what they could do in any kind of match. I mean, throw them in an Ambrose Asylum for all I care.
I would like to see them go at it. And just thinking about like all the possibilities with matchups and obviously with the draft, I think it would be a smart idea to not only like they could do, you know, how they used to do it like you know, oh, well, I've just stolen a talent from a show or something, but they should do some drafting, like, every 6 months to change it up, make it fresh, have new rivalries, and stuff like that.
The classic, like, Survivor Series-style matches, Raw versus SmackDown again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it gives purpose to Survivor Series again.
Exactly. Because, I mean, those matches have kind of fallen by the wayside in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, have that have meaning again.
And
I mean, in terms of the Royal Rumble, just whoever fucking wins, that's where they get the title shot.
Now, I want to talk about a feud that's been building for a couple of weeks that I am just all in on. I know some people aren't sold on it, but you know what? I just don't see how this is not going to work. The Wyatt family versus the New Day.
I know that, like, some people were just weird on it, but I just think it is so kind of awesome. It is the two complete opposites. And I love that. I love how it's so contrasting. But they're doing something really weird with it. It's like, it's clearly getting to Xavier Woods, and he sold it, like, so well on Raw with Bray.
His facial expressions were
beautiful. Oh, my God. He looked terrified, and it was so cool. I loved how they did that.
And Bray Wyatt played on it.
Oh, he did. Well. I mean, ugh, I think it's so cool. I want to see more and more.
And the reaction, first of all, the reaction he got when he came out from coming back from injury, that was fantastic. He got a moment to soak that in, and that you just love seeing that for the guys because it shows them how much they're loved by the fans. And then for the New Day to come out and be all, well, New Day-ish was kind of a heel move. I mean, I'm not saying they're turning heel because they're not, but typically that's the kind of move a heel team would do to just take away his thunder.
Yeah, I actually, what I loved about the segment on Raw is that you had Kofi and Big E clearly into what they were doing, and Xavier just, like, terrified. It worked really well. I loved it.
It adds a psychological element to it.
It really does. And it
wasn't there.
It makes sense that they would clash as well.
Yeah. It's light and day. Night and day, light and dark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Day and night is what we're trying to get to, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's been a thing. I'm still recovering from last weekend.
That's fair enough. And other things happening, like Kane popping up, trying to get work, and then obviously the Demon Kane came back against The Miz, who, as everyone was, like, saying,
yes.
Well, Miz, you've been away for a month. You should be defending your fucking title, dude.
That's right. I mean, apparently Marine 5 is big business. Makes him an A-lister, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. On, buddy. I
love how Miz is totally bought into the character.
Oh, it's great. I enjoy watching it, and I love Maurice.
Best work all year. I mean, he's been quietly one of their more dependable, solid heels they have. Because you genuinely want to punch him in his goddamn
and
mouth.
And it helps that Maurice is there, because since she came back, he's been in a role.
Easy to hate her, too. And she's added an element that he's just had missing.
Yeah, it works. And I liked that she sort of faked the injury to get him out of the match.
That was so bad, too, but which also kind of worked.
Yeah, right?
They think they're, like, the best actors in the world. When
yeah, I know, and it's
just, and that was, just, like, the worst pratfall I've ever
it
seen.
It was so brilliant that, you know, it plays with that gimmick. It's just so entertaining. But we saw the return of the Social Outcasts going after Enzo and Cass, and this is a feud I want to see run.
You were asking me why there was such a squash match. And, well, for one, I think squash matches are just fine so long as they're not overdone. But for two, it just brought them out and got to have a little more fun asking about how hard they are.
Oh my god, I was laughing so hard, and they're going, oh, I'm the hardest.
You know, for a show that's quote-unquote PG, yeah. They sure do a hell of a lot of innuendo.
Oh god, I could not even.
And it was, here's the thing, is it was both Enzo and Cass getting in on that.
I want to see more, because it's funny.
Oh yeah. It's funny, and also when that big man gets pissed off, man, you can tell they're downright scary.
Yeah.
Like, when he just almost murdered the vaudevillains on his own.
Yeah. But, I mean, before the split, I do want to see more.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it'll be really funny.
I want to see more of Enzo and Cass, too. I can't believe just how much they've taken off.
Oh, man, it's amazing. I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. I'm forever quoting. Yeah, it's like, my name is Enzo Amore.
Everyone's saying that, man. I saw shirts of that at Days.
Oh, my God. I would so wear a certified G t-shirt.
Hell, yeah.
I am a certified G, a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I love it.
Realist guys in the room, how you doing? Oh my god.
That brings us to something I've been wanting to talk about for a while now.
Is it the fact that I hated Enzo and now I would totally bang him?
He's a goofy looking dude. Let's be honest.
I know! What the hell? Why am I attracted to him? I don't understand it. It's the power of charisma or something.
And dude, man, that dude could sell sand to a... He could sell water to a drowning man.
Yeah, and with all the praise for Enzo, I just want to, obviously, have to give a shout-out to my boy Luke Norris, who can't stand what they do, and I just laugh every time they're on, because I always think of him when they're on, and just what will get brought up on the binge sports wrestling show.
I can't see why people don't like him.
Enzo has just taken off in our house. We are always fucking quoting. I will on Raw, I was like, had my phone up, and I'm like recording some of the promo and sending it to Chris. I'll just, you know, go to him and be like, my name is Super Marcy, and you can't teach that.
Well, I think the real brilliance about them is the fact that you never know what the hell is going to come out of their mouth, man, because their promos are obviously not scripted.
Oh my god, no way.
Who the hell could write that shit, man?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, they got over listing a bunch of different kinds of fucking cheeses.
Cheeses, I know. Yeah,
they're in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was. Oh my god, it was funny.
I just love those guys, and I love that the tag team division has finally come back.
Yeah, I don't want to see teams breaking up.
Maybe for some teams it might be better.
Can we break up the Usos and then just fire them? I mean, well...
I think they're too talented to get rid of, personally.
No, I think split them up, because maybe they can do something on their own.
No. I think the fact that they've been joined at the hip with Roman Reigns for so long is not doing anyone any favors.
No.
It's really not. No. But, I mean, you got teams like the Vaudevillains. You've got, if they ever put Sami Zayn and Owens back together, you've got one hell of a tag team that used to be amazing to watch.
Mm.
You've got Enzo and Cass. You've got the New Day. You've got the Wyatt family. You've got the Club. You've got, that's not even counting the ones that are waiting in the wings, like American Alpha, or the Authors of Pain, or the Revival.
And then you've got, like, the side teams, like, the Golden Truth and Breeze Dango.
Yes. And,
Breathe Dango is like my favorite thing because they mesh so well together. It's like, why the fuck didn't Dune's from the start?
It's a stupid fucking name though. Let's be honest.
I would have called them. I don't know.
I could have. Pretty and Prettier.
Yeah, basically. But no, I love it. I love their whole thing. Do not split them up. Make them the tag champs one day, please.
They're going to have to work for that, but I can see it. I'm just glad that it's giving everyone something to do.
But I think they mesh so much better as a team than Truth and Goldie.
Yeah, at the same time, I mean, I can see Truth and Goldust actually end up working well together.
They do. I just think the chemistry with Tyler and Fandango is just, it's on point, man.
I think just that storyline to the creation of the Golden Truth just went way too long.
Oh my god, didn't it just go on forever?
I mean, like I said again, I'm happy that all four guys got something to do. They're not fucking jerking off and catering in the back, so that's a good thing. But damn, man, I mean, like, I couldn't stop watching because it was like watching a car crash. I mean, you don't want to see it, but you can't look away. But then you've also got, well, I'll tell you one tag team that hasn't really, I know they're amazing, but Primo and Epico.
Yeah, well, we don't know. I mean, Vince just was like, oh, this isn't working. Brr. Wait, what? You gave him one match against people we don't know.
Here's the thing. I mean, they're good talents. They're good workers. But they just don't have anything to really help them stand out, if you ask me.
I think they need Carlito.
That could definitely help, because he's got way more charisma and mic skills than both of them combined.
And we know that they have contacted him, so...
That's true. In fact, the rumor is that they're contacting a lot of former talents, because...
Yep.
And that's one that I wouldn't be surprised to see come back, because, I mean, he can still go. He's a good worker in the ring.
Who are you referring to?
Carlito.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And... That would be perfect for him.
I think that's what's missing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to me, we're in a serious drought of truly great managers.
Yeah.
Back in the day, a manager was every bit as entertaining as the wrestlers in the ring. I mean, Bobby Heenan. Need I say more?
Yeah.
But, I mean... I love the fact that the Authors of Pain at Paul Ellering.
Oh, that was so cool. I was just like, whoa, dude.
That is so perfect.
You're completely right. I mean, what managers do we have? Like Lana, and that's it.
Paul Heyman.
Yeah, but when is he ever on? It's only for Brock Lesnar.
That's true, because, well, anyone that's not Brock Lesnar, that's a Paul Heyman guy, is doomed to fail.
Yeah, it does. But there's, I mean, Miz... I guess has Maurice, but you know, there's not a lot, and that is a dynamic, especially with like a team that always seems to work.
I mean, it works great for a tag team. It works great, especially for a heels wrestler.
Mm.
But I mean, it can also even work for a babyface, because I mean, Brock Lesnar, he's as over as anyone. I mean, well, over doesn't necessarily mean babyface, but.
He's just over, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it's because of his legitimacy. He's about to fight again. At UFC 200.
Yeah, and then he'll be back for SummerSlam.
That's right. And if I know what WWE has to be thinking right now. Don't fuck this up, Brock. Don't fuck this up, Brock.
Yeah, don't fucking get hurt, bitch.
Because if he gets hurt or if he loses the fight, which is very possible because Mark Hunt, the near neighbor of you down there, he lives, although it's not your best neighbors, it's New Zealand. Dude's got a bomb for a right hand, man. That guy can hit hard, very, very hard. And Well, even a guy as big and as bad as Brock Lesnar can get knocked out. I've seen it happen to him. So, but if he does win, WWE is going to have a gold mine on their hands. Because, I mean, he's already the most legitimate badass they've got. I mean, even taken to another level than what they did with Kurt Angle. Just simply because there's a difference between Olympic wrestling and professional fighting. And I think the best example of that was when he created Suplex City against John Cena. And because that's even more than the AJ Styles versus Cena match. Have you ever seen any champion more thoroughly thrashed than that?
No.
Never. I can't name a time.
Yeah.
And with that, they've got a juggernaut for as long as he wants to continue putting on the boots.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And he's going to be, they announced he's the cover athlete on 2K17 as well.
Which is fun by me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, whenever I'm having a bad day, I love to pop on 2K16, just put on Brock Lesnar and ball a motherfucker.
When we stop recording, we should totally have a game.
We should do that.
We haven't done that for a while. I can't wait for the game. I'm very excited for it. But I actually wanted to bring up something. And this will kind of tie into the Cruiserweight Classic as well, which I'm really excited about. But it's really cool to see that WWE are actually or bringing in or getting some more Aussie guys into the mix.
Yes.
Because if anyone had seen NXT, and I think this tag name is a bit stupid, TM61.
Yes.
These guys are a tag team. They were called as the Mighty Don't Kneel, or TMDK, so they've kind of changed it. If I'm getting their names right, I think it's Shane Thorne and Nick Miller.
I believe so.
And they are two Aussie guys. They're really impressive. I highly recommend trying to find their stuff.
They're fun to watch. They're not just they can fly around with the best of them, but at the same time, they can tell a good story in that ring.
The more they get on NXT, the better it's going to be. Believe me.
Absolutely. We have
so much talent down here, and I can't believe it's taken this long for them to really start paying attention to it.
That's all thanks to Triple H, Mr. Ole. I used to bury everyone
but
me, is what, well, everyone on the internet used to say.
Yep. And also...
Now, here's the funny thing, is all those motherfuckers now, they're begging for him to take over WWE.
Oh, they're sucking his cock right now. They really are.
Fucking hypocritical...
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, it will tie into the Cruiserweight Classic. We do have an Aussie in the Cruiserweight Classic. And he is a South Aussie boy. It's like I'm a South Aussie girl. You know, hometown dude, I guess. With Damian Slater. And he's a fantastic guy, and he's going to be great to watch. I haven't read any results or anything. I want to watch the Cruiserweight Classic when it airs without knowing anything. So I'll be going for him. If he doesn't win, I'll find someone else to go to. But he's fantastic. I highly recommend checking his stuff out on YouTube. And thanks to the dude who does look at my tweets, because that's always fun.
There's a lot of amazing talent that's coming out in this, man, and I would love to see some of them. If a handful of them even get contracts, that would be great.
I would love to see him get signed. That'd be amazing.
I would love to see Zack Sabre Jr. signed.
Oh, my God, yeah.
For those of you that don't know, AJ Styles' final match on the indie scene was against Zack Sabre Jr., where he lost to him by submission.
Yeah.
He's a British grappler that you just got to see.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking cool. And If you check, I don't know, it was online somewhere, WWE posted it, there was a really hilarious reunion with Regal and Tajiri.
I saw that, man, that's on YouTube.
I was pissing myself laughing. That,
Tajiri's back.
Oh my god, those two, like, back when Tajiri joined WWE, and they started with the whole thing with Regal, I mean, that was like my dad's favorite thing on the show. His favorite that he'd ever seen was Tajiri.
Yes.
He didn't call him by his name, he just called him the Japanese dude, because my dad's English is terrible. But, oh my god, if he was on, he had to watch, and like, he would just piss himself laughing with the antics they did, and it was just like our highlight, because it was something like, you know, my parents would say they would put up with watching the wrestling, but secretly they loved it. But that was the one thing they weren't ashamed, like the both of them either, were ashamed to say they loved watching. Unless it was, you know, hilarious Stone Cold antics.
Well, Stone like, Cold and that
like
guy.
We still piss ourselves when he and Booker T fought in the supermarket.
Oh, yeah. Or when he bops fucking Vince McMahon upside the head with a bedpan. That dong that hits with it, that man, that is like straight from a fucking cartoon. It's so great.
Oh my god. But yeah, no, that video just, oh my god, so good.
Oh man. And there's one thing you forgot to bring up. Another superstar return, not named Bray Wyatt. I'm talking, of course, about The Boss. Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks is back, baby. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And she's more over than a lot of the wrestlers, or the male wrestlers.
She's more over than a lot of people right now. Yes. So and, about the boss.
And now she's gunning straight for that belt, and oh, yes. It's a feud I've been waiting for. I mean, I love me Paige. I love me Becky Lynch. But
this is
Sasha,
the feud we really want. And they've held off on it because they want us to be anticipating it.
Yes.
They're not stupid.
No, absolutely. And Sasha, she's going to have a good reign. And let's be honest, she's going to win the belt. I mean,
she will. If it's not at Battleground, it'll be at SummerSlam.
Yes.
I would prefer they saved it till SummerSlam, personally.
I would, too, but what they might do is a tag team match between, again, with Paige and Sasha versus Charlotte and Dana. But
awesome.
I just want to see Sasha win that belt.
It's going to be amazing. It will be fantastic. And then what would, like, seal it is once she wins and, like, Bayley shows up.
Yes. Yes. Because that would be...
Just for the sheer fact that we know they have incredible matches. Like, they had my match of the year last year.
I think they had almost everyone's match of the year last
Pretty
year.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of really good matches last year. I mean, thinking about all the match of the year candidates, like, two or three of them had Sasha Banks or Bayley in it.
Pretty much, yeah.
A lot of them had John Cena in it, believe it or not, because that U.S. title run that he had, that was so incredible.
Yeah. I mean,
him putting over Owens cleanly.
Yep.
Him versus Cesaro.
Yeah. I think with the split too, we're gonna see like more from the likes of like Owens and Cesaro and Zayn and the guys that are kind of just
dwindling
around a little.
The split allows for more television time for guys which wouldn't necessarily get it. And
yeah,
it allows to create more stories.
Yeah, so I think ultimately it's gonna be a positive thing. I just hope they handle it properly.
I think so. I think they will. I think it'll take time. I mean, the way that they've been touting it as a new era and touting this whole brand split and everything like that, I mean, it's got a positive buzz for it.
I mean, yeah, it's big news.
They're handling it pretty well so far.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens when it actually happens. Yeah, is there anything else on the agenda for discussion?
That's about all I've got for right now.
I can't really think of too much. I will say, like, I am not at all against Ambrose having the title. I think little bit that he's actually gotten it. His character and what he was doing, I mean, it just kind of was starting to feel stale because it's like it was on repeat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the title, I think it's going to help him a lot. And of course, having Seth Rollins to go back and forth with for the next few weeks will be really good. I know I was really just wanting the title on Rollins, but I think it's a good change-up, and it's a good reward for everything that he's done.
Yes, he's come so close to the top of the mountain on so many occasions.
Mm.
And the crowd have been so behind him. I mean, he's arguably the most popular wrestler since Daniel Bryan. And that's not a small thing at all. I mean, whenever you hear the car engine start up, man, you know, oh, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, it reminds me of when you'd hear the glass shatter or the horns for Flight of the Valkyries, Daniel Bryan. I mean,
yeah, people are going crazy. He's drawing a lot. And I'm gonna leave this as a prediction. Roman Reigns returns. He's still going to get the fucking shit booed out of him, man.
I agree.
I don't think there was any sympathy on him at all with that promo.
I think he'll be booed even more because fans are going to realize that he is what they've all been thinking about him being handed.
Yeah.
Or right or wrong.
I say bring him back as a fucking heel. Just go for it.
I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, just fucking go for it.
It's going to take. they were not buying into him as being their hero to begin with. They don't want a hero like that. They want a hero like Ambrose.
Yeah, exactly. They want that kind of guy on top.
Someone who they can relate to.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. I mean, superheroes are great and all, but you cannot truly relate to someone like, say, Superman. Whereas you got this crazy fucker who's more like, say, the Punisher. Fans can flock to someone like that.
And that's why Cena just has... as a hero, just doesn't work anymore. And, you know, hints of things changing with Cena, like his match with AJ, but then they kind of undo it when he just, like, you know, squashes, and he did squash Carl Anderson last week. Like, don't fucking do that.
Fair enough, but Carl, to be fair, and this is just playing devil's advocate, Carl Anderson has never been treated as an oncoming AJ Styles or John Cena. He's never been presented as exactly at their level. So, I mean, this is just playing devil's advocate, saying that I can understand the reasoning behind it, because AJ is the unquestioned leader of the club, and there's got to be a reason for it. And he's
he shouldn't... let the guy get some fucking moves in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that and all, but at the same time, that match didn't really last long because...
No, it didn't at all, but this, again, just back to how I just don't like how they're treating those guys when they should be complete monsters.
Again, I think it's way too early to say that WWE is screwing them over.
Like that's what they're doing. I just don't think they're aware that that's what they're doing.
I don't know. I think it's... I'm personally in the wait and see mode.
Obviously we've got to keep, you know, I think obviously things are going to change with the draft, so
right now, like we said, they're on a holding pattern until a draft when they can really build more storylines.
As we wrap things up, let's let's get into the WWE Network a little bit. The WWE are putting out like a lot of their own kind of content. As we mentioned before, like the Edge and Christian show, they've released their adult, well, for adults, not that I'm saying it's dirty or anything. Well, kind of is a little. With Camp WWE. I've only watched the first episode, which I thought was weirdly funny, and, like, Ric Flair just, I don't know, raping a bear was very bizarre. But you've also got, like...
Yeah, kids, man!
They do, like, WWE 24, and the last one they did was with Seth Rollins, which I highly recommend.
Yes.
As we said, yeah, Edge and Christian's show. You've got all the Stone Cold podcasts to watch, and if you didn't watch the one with AJ... Watch it, because where else, I mean, they mentioned TNA, they mentioned Dixie Carter.
Yep, by name.
Yeah, nothing was off limits with that one, like, for real.
Yeah, I mean, that was a perfect example of showing just how much they let Stone Cold just ask whatever the hell he wants.
Well, we know he was holding back a little bit with some of them, but this one, nope. No way.
I love the fact that on the Edge and Christian show, they had AJ Styles on it, and they even made a crack about TNA.
But they showed the team of TNA.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll test an Albert with Trish Stratus, for those that don't remember.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, they'll never talk about that.
Yeah, well, nope, they did. But there's also, like, off-the-wall shows, like Ride Along, where they put them in the car and they just talk shit. Well,
that's cool, because you get to see more of their actual personalities.
What I've seen of it, I've actually enjoyed. You get the right people on there, it's entertaining. Table for Three.
That's all three.
For as short as it is, it can be quite good, depending, like, who's on there.
Yeah.
You kind of want it to go longer. Like, when they had Nash, Hall, and... X-Pac on there. It's like, why isn't this like an hour longer?
When they had Cesaro, Neville, and Owens.
Yeah, it's like, I need 3 hours of this.
Now, there's another show that I really have... I didn't really care for the first season. Season 2 has just dropped. Way better. I mean, is it Swerved?
I haven't watched Swerved yet, but I need to sit and just binge it all.
There's still a few... really forced segments, but I mean, well, there was with Jackass too, and it's the same guy behind Jackass.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's WWE's Jackass, basically.
Yeah, well, it's the same producer, in fact, even.
Well, yeah.
But unlike season one, where they were just pranking other superstars, this time they're pranking the WWE universe. Like, they're... For example, there's a beautiful one where they're having this kid. They like to fuck with the kids in this season. Cut a promo just talking down Randy Orton. And Randy Orton is behind this with Seth Rollins.
Nice.
And Randy just comes up behind him, and after him saying that he could counter the RKO anytime he wants. Everything. And keep in mind, this is like an 8-year-old. So, and just out of nowhere, Randy grabs him for an RKO out of nowhere and holds him. Go ahead, break out, kid. And the kid's like, what? You're Randy! Yeah. And then he talks him into start talking trash about Seth Rollins.
Nah.
So, naturally, Seth Rollins comes out.
No. Oh,
although, hands down, the funniest one is Dolph Ziggler and Paige.
Oh, okay.
They go on a set of blind dates, but they each got an earwig in to tell them, while the other person tells them what to do and everything like that. And they've got an electrified dog collar strapped to their thigh.
Okay.
Which the person telling them what to do... has the zapper for. And so, yeah, they proceed to electrocute the crap out of each other. Dolph Ziggler tells Paige to punch the waiter, and she just decks his ass. seeing her squirm from the electric shocks he gives her over and over and over and over again. The waiter was actually in on it too, so he gave the waiter the button. And he was standing behind her date, so he couldn't see with the zapper and just started just zapping her back, payback for that shot he took.
Nice.
I mean, it's stuff like that, and it's just, some of it's kind of groan-worthy, but some of it is just absolutely just hysterical. It's so much better done than before.
Well, they've learned from the first season, so.
Yes. And I gotta say, the best thing that the WWE has done with the network recently is get together these collections.
Yeah.
Matches. I mean, if you want to see a collection of Daniel Bryan's best matches, they've got a playlist for that. Yeah, that's what it is. It's essentially playlists for different wrestlers.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool move. I like that they've done that.
And they picked some unique stuff, too. I mean, it's not all exactly what you would expect, either. And they constantly are adding more and more for each different wrestler, and that's just the tits, man. I love it.
It's the tits.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the network fucking so much. I mean, I feel like we should be paying more for it because it's just so amazing.
$9.99 a month for that, man. It's a better deal than Netflix, dude.
It's pretty fucking incredible.
I mean, you almost anything you want is at your fingertips.
See, I mean, if I could bang the network, I'd totally bang it.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah.
We'd tag team that bitch.
I'd make it my Seth Rollins. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Gotta put in a dirty Seth Rollins reference somewhere. we haven't even mentioned like the Python, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
There we go, Python mentioned.
wow.
Yeah. I do think that's probably a wrap. I think we've covered everything. We will be back, I would say, after the draft and after Battleground.
Okay.
So a few weeks. You know, because we're going to have lots of stuff to talk about. We will see if fucking Rybatch is off suspension and if he's fucking settled his fucking contract. Maybe we'll get someone else in. We tried to, but just times are always difficult because I'm in Australia. Everyone else is fucking across the world. It's always difficult to get the time zones in order. But at least you and I will be back.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah, because this is such a cool podcast show. We know our shit.
Right, we do.
Yeah, boy. I don't think there's anything else I wanted to talk about. So, now I've just got to look this up because with Supermarcy.com undergoing some rebranding and some changes, it's probably going to take a little while, but we'll get there. Their web address is still www.supermarcy.com, but if you want to look us up on Facebook now, you need to look up The Super Network or www.facebook.com/TheSuperNetwork, so you can find us there, so give us a like if you haven't, be sure to subscribe to The Super Podcast on iTunes, because you subscribe to The Super Podcast, you'll get the regular show, as well as this show, and the interviews we do come up through that feed as well, so you won't miss anything. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. If I feel like adding you on Facebook, you can try just under facebook.com/supermarcy. There is that, and you can also find me as a regular on bingemedia.net under the Binge Sportscast Wrestling Show. which I've been on the last three in a row. I think I'll be back on the next one. And I mean, if you want to shoot me an email, it's marty@supermarty.com. I think that's all my info that I can remember. Mean James, where can peeps find you and your shit?
Oh, you can find me at FromDuskTillCon, that's 2 L's, .com. I do a lot of the writing for reviews and such like that there. I run it with my buddy and partner in crime, the Taco King himself. You can find us on Facebook at the FDTC Network. Funny enough, you should say that about the Super Network, because we're pretty much the same way. We're just American. You can find me on Facebook as James Orell, O-R-R-E-L-L. You can find me at Rebellion Reborn on Twitter, and just shoot me a line, and I'll say hi to you. Or you can find me drunk at Days of the Dead in September if you're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep, you may find me at the next Oz Comic Con, trying to make that happen right now.
Absolutely. That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, we fucking love our cons and all that kind of cool stuff. Yeah, so hit us up. You don't have to, but you can.
You don't like much.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it from us for now. This has been the Super Squared Circle podcast. I have been good old Super Marcy. He has been Mean James Orell. And we are out of here.
See you later.
Peace.